Cigars in Cinema.
Will you bring in the cigars, please?
The movie review podcast that tackles the smoky side of cinema.
Cigar, Mike!
Each week, we review a movie that contains, in some way, shape, or form, someone smoking a cigar.
Cigars.
Fire is good.
We'll talk about who smoked it, where they smoked it, how they smoked it, and we'll probably make fun of them if they have no idea what they're doing.
What are you doing?
You never light a cigar that way.
So sit back, light up, and enjoy the podcast that has it all. Cigars.
Cigar. Smoke it.
Smoke it.
Movies.
Say hello to my little friend!
And General Mayhem.
My doggie!
Hello, everybody. It's Brandon Luna with Cigars and Cinema with my special guest today, Philip Fulman of This May Hurt.
Thanks, Brandon. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, and you know, no one's heard the Superman one, so this is the first time you're on this show officially.
Oh, man, spoilers.
Since this is going out before that.
Okay, so
the reason this is going out so soon is because today is Back to the Future Day.
That's right. It is, what is it, October 21st,
2015, which apparently is a thing.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, predictions Facebook in the second movie that were supposed to have come true by now, and Facebook and Instagram and everybody's blowing up with it, and there's all kinds of news about it on the news. It's crazy.
Is everybody disappointed? Because I don't know what's come true.
Yeah, it's pretty disappointing, yeah. So we're reviewing just all three of the films at once. I've just recently?
We watched them.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember the future?
Me.
Where?
Back to the future.
Are we back?
We're back.
What do you mean we're in the future?
October 21st, 2015.
Marty, we're going to be able to see our wedding.
Wow. The future. I got to check this out, Doc.
Look what happened to your son.
He's a complete wimp.
Don't talk to anyone.
You've been looking, Bob!
Hey, look!
Don't touch anything.
I need to borrow your hoverboard.
Come on. And try not to look at anything. I didn't invent the time machine to win at gambling.
I can't lose.
I invented a time machine to travel through time.
Hey, Doc, I'm all for that. What's wrong with making a few bucks on the side?
Now, the time continuum has been disrupted, creating an alternate 1985.
There have been a few changes.
It's like we're in hell or something.
No, it's Hill Valley, although I can't imagine hell being much worse.
But they'll all be back.
Eat less, slackers!
Biff?
Hello? Hello, anybody home?
Well, it can't be you. You're so big.
Michael J. Fox. Christopher Lloyd. Michael J. Fox.
We're like a couple of teenagers, you know?
And Michael J. Fox.
Mom, is that you?
Steven Spielberg presents a Robert Zemeckis film, Back to the Future.
Gotta get back in time.
Part 2. Coming November 22nd to theaters everywhere.
If you haven't figured it out yet, today is going to be a Randy Rankin-free show. Unfortunately, he just started a new job with Christoph Cigars, so he's out there doing that right now. This show was kind of a last-minute thing because of Back to the Future Day, and he just wasn't able to make the time. But I did find a great substitute today in Philip Fulman. So if you don't know who Philip Fulman is, shame on you. He is from the podcast
Wow.
This May Hurt. And that you guys, I mean, come on. You guys are on iTunes. You had New and Noteworthy. If people are
Spreaker.
Fans of Casting of the Pods, they should be very familiar with you guys by now.
Well, thank you, sir. We try.
Yeah. And tell me a little bit about your show. What is the concept of This May Hurt for people that don't know?
The concept is we take a topic and we look at the positives, the negatives, and what about those things may hurt. Sometimes we just kind of go off topic and don't stick to format. We'll talk about something that we just like, such as comic books, something like that. But we've talked about bullying, which obviously, you know, there's stuff that hurts about that. but more so the, you know, kind of the causes behind it, how you deal with it. We've dealt with love, which was one of the tougher episodes because obviously, as Nazareth said, love hurts.
Yeah.
Drinking, which again seems like another one of those where it's like, well, the you know, what hurts about it is obvious, but you know, drinking, you can't just out and out vilify it. We haven't done a cigar show or a smoking show. I'd kind of like to broaden that a little bit, talk more about vices maybe. But that's really what we do. We look at a certain topic and it's like, okay, what are the good things about it? What are the negatives? And how can you kind of counteract the negatives?
Okay.
And we do a little news in the beginning and go from there. So it's been great. And since they haven't heard the Superman episode, again, thank you, because when I did the old podcast with you, the Calypso Cigar review, we did the IPCPR review.
Yes, sir.
And that's what spurred Joe and I to say, you know what, let's quit talking about this. Let's do it. And we've had a blast. But
and the Joey talks of is Joey Salvia.
Joey Salvia, yes, sorry.
And he has another podcast that he started, and for the life of me, I can't remember what it is. It's
Dundalk 1978. A rock and roll mystery.
I did listen to it, and it was very intriguing.
Yes.
And I have...
Did you...
I'll talk to you off
mic
my theory about things.
Okay, okay.
So, and you can kind of verify that if it's...
So, yeah, but thank you, and I've been listening to all of your...
Oh, thank you, sir.
Your shows as well. I caught the television one. Young Frankenstein, I loved.
Yeah.
As always, I wish you guys were a call-in show.
Yeah, so people
would be like, wait a minute.
You missed that. All these. Yeah, I do too. I think, you know, there's ways we can do that. I think if we go Google Plus, people can actually do chat with us and stuff like that. They've expanded that. But the quality's so bad on the Google Plus that it's just, it kind of makes it not worth it to me. We've done a couple of shows where we actually were on Google Plus and people were able to come in. But the sound quality was so bad when you ripped it down to just the audio. And there was, you know, if someone has a bad connection, there's a delay. It was a pain in the ass. So.
Can you turn your radio down in the background, please?
Right. Like the old days, yeah. Wow.
I know. But no, I've enjoyed the shows. I mean, you know, I'm a cigar smoker and I'm kind of a media nerd. Mm-hmm. So
now, This May Hurt does not revolve around cigars, but you do smoke a cigar on the show.
We do smoke. Well, I smoke on the show. Joey doesn't. He does smoke cigars occasionally, but I'm the cigar smoker on the show.
Yeah.
And we'll throw in a pitch there for our
sponsor.
Yep. And whatever cigar that I happen to be smoking at the time.
Yep. So by proxy, you're supporting cigars in the cigar industry by listening to This May Hurt as well. So
absolutely,
if you're a listener to Cigars and Cinema, go check out This May Hurt. It's a great show, and I think you'll definitely enjoy it.
Now, one of the predictions that I don't know if they had, I'm pretty sure they didn't have him Back to the Future 2, was everybody today in the industry is kind of sitting around waiting to see what the Office of Budget Management says about the FDA cigar regulations.
Yeah.
So this could be a really great day, or it might be a so-so day.
Do you think they're going to have results on this like now? Is that coming?
That's what somebody was telling me. I thought it was going to be months out.
Yeah, I thought so too.
But somebody was saying, no, I thought they were going to hear something today. So the whole thing's been subject of rumor mill, man. I mean, there's really been nothing about this that hasn't been speculated about. So we'll just wait and see. But
interesting.
I've got my fingers crossed, man.
It's a scary and interesting time to be part of the cigar industry. And, you know, it's such a great brotherhood, and I'd hate to see anything bad happen to it. So if this goes the wrong direction, you're going to see a lot of people freaking out.
It's going to go underground.
Yeah.
It's going to become more exclusive. It'll just be, you know, when I first moved here to the metro area, the Dallas metro area, in order to get a beer, you had to say, oh, yeah, we're going to sign you up for a membership. It cost $1.
I remember that.
And then we'll give you $1 off your beer. And I thought, what kind of BS is this? This is stupid. I mean, it's middle masturbation.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, it's the same as, you know, you can't buy liquor on Sunday. Like, right. Okay, so I'll go Saturday. Sunday, yeah. It's, I don't know.
Yeah,
we could go a completely different direction, you know, like a totalitarian society like you saw in Back to the Future 2.
Exactly.
Biff took over, I guess. Wasn't it kind of like, he didn't take over the whole world, just the city, right?
Just the city, yeah, the city where they were at, yeah. So Back to the Future 1, Back to the Future 2, and 3. One is a classic to me. I mean, I love one. One's just one of the best, like, all-time time travel movies ever.
Very quotable.
So well done. Very thought out. You know, well thought out.
Yes.
Really no... There's plot holes, but, you know, it's still really fun as a movie. And I really loved it. 2 and 3 kind of seemed like a mistake in my book. They were made at the same time. They were shot back-to-back. and that allowed them to play a little bit more with the timeline and do a little bit of some foreshadowing in the second one that then played into the third one and stuff like that, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And they released them, I think, a year from each other.
Apart.
Yeah, which probably was too long. But two was really dark compared to the first one.
It was very dark.
It was the Empire Strikes Back of the series. You know,
right, which really the series didn't need.
Yeah. Exactly. And then the third one really kind of joyed it up. We got ZZ Top in there, and you got the Western thing going on.
Yeah,
and
that one didn't work for me.
Yeah. I liked the third one. I liked Doc Brown having a love interest. I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah. You've read Jules Verne? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but, you know, you've got... Now, didn't they change his girlfriend in the second movie?
They did change the girlfriend, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they did change the girlfriend. The girlfriend in the first one was this model actress girl, and then the second one was Elizabeth Shue, who actually went on to do better, bigger things. So... kind of interesting. Usually it goes the other way. Usually it's the big actress that's replaced with a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was kind of the reverse. They replaced her with a better known actress. So
like
it was kind
when
of
you replace Ralph Macchio with Hilary Swank?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay,
but, you know,
gotcha.
Well, she ended up being a bigger, better thing, I guess, if you look at it. She's got an Oscar.
Two. Yeah.
She's got two Oscars. Does she have two Oscars? I think she has two
Oscars.
She
might.
One for looking like a dude and another one for looking like a dude.
She didn't get one for The Next Karate Kid, huh?
No.
God.
I don't think you get one for that. I don't think anybody got anything for that.
No. Pat Morita got a TV show called O'Hara out of it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Go Google. Yeah. Wow. It was on for a season on ABC. It was called O'Hara.
What was
and
it?
And he was like an L.A. detective who knew karate.
Really?
Yes.
Pat Morita didn't even know karate.
they grabbed like three no-name actors and surrounded him with cheesy plots and... He went around and did karate and taught lessons.
I had no concept of that show at all.
Get on the Google.
Ever being it. I'll look it up. Get on the Google. We sound such old men. I was on the interwebs.
I was on the Google, which was Google. Google was not mentioned.
No.
In Back to the Future 2.
No. I don't
so
think
what
it was
were
around
what were
then.
The things?
So there were some predictions that they made, and there's a little graph here that I got. Some stuff that was actually was actually right, and some stuff that was way off. And here is the graph. Here's some things that they predicted for Back to the Future 2. They said fax machines would rule. Yeah, fax machines are no longer a thing at all, pretty much. I can't think of anybody that has one. They said that the Cubs would win the World Series. That didn't really happen.
No.
They said there would be a Jaws 19. It would be in 4D.
Shark still looks fake.
And 3D did have a big comeback, so that was kind of sort of right. Jaws 19 really didn't happen.
About
the most sequels we probably got was the Jason or the Halloween movies, I think.
Yeah.
You're
Police Academy?
10.
No, Police Academy's done.
Jason was in. It got to 10, I think?
Yeah.
It was supposed to go to 13, didn't quite get there. So, and then they also said there'd be flying cars, which, of course, didn't happen.
No, but we're working on automated cars.
Yeah, working on the automated cars. Dehydrated food was not a thing in the movie. They put a little thing in there, microwave it, and then, bing, comes out a huge meal.
You could argue some of that microwave food's not...
Lawyers would be banished, which, you know, fortunately, that's not true. Yeah. Now, some of the things that they got right, video chat. Is definitely something that was
Skyping
definitely here. Skyping and now there was you know they used it in lieu of talking on the phone. It was like everybody
right.
Everybody,
it was more like the video phone.
Yeah,
had finally come through.
Cars used alternative fuel, which is true. We don't have fusion, man. Or
right,
whatever,
but there's still
alternative fuel.
Ways.
Yeah, and they also said they have video glasses. We don't have video glasses yet, but
we have
Google glasses.
Now, what were the video glasses?
There was like watch TV on them.
They
on the
have
video.
Those.
Do they?
Yeah, they. God, I know I've seen them. It was like at one of the Comic Cons I went to. You could like watch 3D in your glasses.
That would burn your eyeballs out, probably.
Well, I mean, it's not good for you, but
yeah.
They...
Hoverboards aren't really a thing yet, but we've got those things that are sort of hoverboard-ish, I guess.
Yeah.
But not great. Thumbprint is keys. They were definitely correct on that to a degree. CGI dead celebrities.
You had a couple of concerts, didn't?
Yeah,
you had the Tupac guy, Tupac Chopra.
Yeah,
and
and you had the Elvis thing too. I think did
oh
Elvis
yeah
thing,
yeah oh Michael Jackson. No, it was
Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
Michael Jackson. Yeah,
yeah.
So which is funny because Michael Jackson was in number two as a CGI celebrity. I'm like, did they predict Michael Jackson's death?
Because
that's kind of weird.
That
but
is.
It wasn't actually him who played it either. It was some guy who like looked like him and sounded like him. So
interesting.
And they were all very Max Headroomy in the movie.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, which was kind of cheesy because that was
the
like
refresh rate sucked. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just kind of that's some of the predictions. They all said weird stuff like dust repellent paper, which, you know.
Now, didn't Nike come out with some shoes?
They came out with shoes that did the self-tying thing, like in the okay. movie, where they just like suck to your feet and tied, whatever, who cares.
Yeah.
But that was really it. So there was a lot of stuff that they got wrong, but some stuff they got right.
It was a crapshoot.
Yeah, you always take a chance when you do that. And this movie was made in the 80s, like 85. So.
Now think about that. 85, we watch this, and as we did, we're like, oh my God, 2015. What will that be like? And now we're sitting here going, yeah, so it's 2015. Okay.
Yep.
Really not that...
Not that different.
Yeah, no.
Not that
no,
different.
No, it's really not.
No, no. You don't have all the... I mean, like, they had like a... Was it Biff's son, Griff, was like, you know, he had a helmet on and he was like, his brain was digitally altered or something. It was some stupid crap. So that was, you know, just weirdness, you know. It just, you know, it didn't really play out the way that they wanted it to.
Right.
But there, you know, to go into the cigars in cinema. To get
refresh me on this because it's been a while since I've seen this.
It has been a while, yeah. So this is one of the weird things about this movie. There's cigars kind of throughout the movies, but nobody's really smoking them. So
what,
Back to the Future 2. Mm-hmm. So at the 44 mark, we see Biff's Pleasure Paradise with Biff lighting a cigar with money in the logo. But we never physically see Biff smoking his cigar in the film. So
it's just his logo.
He just has it as the, you know, cigar being lit with money. Logo. At the 55-minute mark, Biff is watching a Clint Eastwood Western Fistful of Dollars with a bunch of bimbos in a hot tub, and you get the scene of Eastwood smoking a cigar in there with the little plate, I guess.
The metal plate he put under the poncho.
Under the poncho, which then plays into, that's the foreshadowing for number three, where Marty does that in three. So clever. Yeah, a little foreshadowing there. Yeah. So. Now in Back to the Future 3, Buford Mad Dog Tannen smokes a cigar, and Marty also walks into a bar at the 29-minute mark, and there's a bunch of guys playing poker, smoking cigars in the bar. That's really about it. So
there's
not a whole lot of it there. It's kind of in the background, you know, doesn't really play into the not main characters doing it.
Right. It seems like the Old West that was kind of
there's more instances of it.
Yeah,
in the
that
Old
it
West.
Was, it kind of fit.
Yeah.
More. Now, was there any in one? Mm-mm. Like any of the jazz players? Well, they were smoking pot.
Mm.
The band that was playing at the homecoming or the
Marvin
prom or whatever.
Marvin Berry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no real
cigar smoke
cigars
there.
Smoking, but of a different kind.
Which, oddly enough, becoming more legal than cigars,
which I just
find awkward. Yeah.
It's very odd. I don't understand that. And I really think that's just to make us, you know, they're trying to control us. It's like that's their way of, you know. We can get them all high. They won't give a damn what we do. You know,
we can do whatever
the hell we want to.
I could see that. I don't know that I subscribe to it, but I mean, hey, you know, it is just awkward that, you know, you could be someplace in Colorado and spark up and somebody be like, all right, man, you light a cigar. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, whoa, wait, you're over there getting stoned, dude. I'm just relaxing the same, you know, in my own way.
I'm relaxing in my own way, and I can still drive a car after this.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's not gonna have the same effect.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned you liked one, two not so much. Do you think it needed the trilogy?
I don't think so. I mean, one is perfect on its own. I think they should have just left it at one.
Right.
I don't really think two and three need to exist. And there's a lot of movies that are like that. Like, you can look at Alien as just a beautiful movie on its own.
Yeah.
I really liked Aliens. I thought Aliens was probably one of the best sequels ever made, but they didn't really need three. They didn't need four. They don't need to do anything else with it. It just
Prometheus and all of that.
Same thing with Predator. Predator was a good movie on its own. There really didn't need to be a Predator 2 or an Alien versus Predator. All that stuff just kind of really diluted the whole thing, I think.
Kind of like Highlander.
Yeah, exactly. Highlander's another good example. Great movie on its own. Should have stayed that way. The second one just really destroyed the whole
It took the whole myth line. And said, by the way, everything we told you in the first movie, completely wrong.
Yeah, we're in space.
that kind of ruined it for me. Mm. The thing I've wondered about, is it that they had a story to tell, or was it just, at that point, Michael J. Fox was bankable?
I don't know. You know, I really think it was more that I think Michael J. Fox was bankable. I think that, I mean, that was, if you look at it, really, that was, he made Teen Wolf before he made Back to the Future.
But it was released after, right? Okay.
Because it got made, they didn't really like it, it got shelved.
Right.
He was doing the show at the time, the show became a big hit. He went and did Back to the Future, you know, during that time.
Okay.
And that was really, really starting to get bankable. So then they released Teen Wolf after the fact because he'd already had all this popularity. And it wasn't a good movie. I mean, Teen Wolf is really pretty cheesy.
No.
And the fact that there's a TV show on MTV now based on it is kind of weird.
Well, but it's more, it kind of go, you know what it's like? It's like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
Versus
the TV show. Yeah, the movie was kind of a, a lark, and the TV show was more serious. Elements of humor, but definitely much more serious.
Yeah, the story arc and everything was a lot more serious. Yeah.
I feel like because I consider you a friend, Brandon, I can tell you this, and nobody else will know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Obviously, everybody's about to find out. Not a Michael J. Fox fan.
Yeah.
And I don't feel un-American saying that because he's from Canada.
He's from Canada, exactly. Yeah, he's Canadian.
You know, I don't care.
Yeah.
No, I don't get his appeal. Mm-hmm. I watch Family Ties, but I think that was more so because I was in high school and or junior high, and everybody's just like, oh, did you watch Family Ties? Never really liked the show that much.
Yeah.
But I just never got him and his, why he was cute. I guess that was the thing. The girls all found him cute. And I'm like, he's like 4 foot tall. I just never got him as an actor or enjoy. I just never got him.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm missing.
Hmm.
But I did like Back to the Future.
Yeah. I liked Back to the Future. I liked it as well. And I thought a lot of the elements worked out. I thought it was really well cast. You got to love Doc Brown. You know, Doc Brown's awesome.
Well,
in that.
And Christopher Lloyd. He always brings something to the table.
Mm-hmm. And I always found the only thing that I think that 2 and 3 kind of build on and make it make more sense is that relationship with Doc Brown. Because you see the first movie and you're like, why is this kid hanging out with this old guy who's kind of crazy? You know, and where does that relationship come from? And you kind of grow that a little bit throughout 2 and 3. And by the third one, you're like, okay, I can see why they were friends. But other than that, there's really no need for 2 and 3. They're just kind of a rehash, really. And they're rehashed to the nth degree. I mean, the 2 one almost tells the exact same story. You literally go back and do part of the first movie over again from the behind the scenes thing. And then the third one, I mean, there's so many elements in all three of those movies that play out over and over and over again that it kind of gets tired after a while. So... Now, really, one needed to happen. The other two, I don't think, did.
Do you remember, and again, I take this to the Michael J. Fox's bankable, put him in anything. Do you remember he did, and it was after Back to the Future, Bright Lights, Big City?
Yeah.
And then they put him in Casualties of War with Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not buying even, you as a soldier guy.
Not even in the same realm of acting skill.
No.
At all.
No.
I mean, he did some movies that were way out of his range, I thought.
Without doubt.
Light of Day. I mean, you know, I don't...
Yeah.
That was a great... He was up against Joan Jett. That's not a great actor to go against, but I mean...
Yeah.
You know, it's...
But, I mean, she at least makes it watchable. Do you remember The Hard Way with James Woods?
Yeah.
Where he's the actor
imitating...
Where
he's supposed to be the actor.
Yeah.
That was bad, too. I like James Woods in that movie. I think James Woods is awesome in that movie.
James Woods is one of those guys who I don't mind watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regardless of the movie.
He brings something to every role that he does, and it's usually pretty crazy. So
he
does a lot of crazy performances. I don't know that he's necessarily a good... He's a good over-actor. He does a lot of over-acting.
James Woods will eat the scene. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, everybody knew him from Spin City, which was, you know, wasn't really my thing either. But
yeah,
he certainly does have his fans. And he just did a show not too long ago. I guess on ABC it lasted like half the season, and he was with the gal who played the sister-in-law in Breaking Bad. How's that for not having any information?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget what it was. He was a radio host or something.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I could IMDb it, but...
Well, Back to the Future was the top grossing movie of 85, so it definitely did well at the box office, which
is why there was
2 and 3. Crispin Glover, weird guy.
Dude,
didn't do the other two movies because he was so anti-sequel, anti...
the guy's,
you know,
just nuts.
He is a kind of a nutbag.
Well, what were... Oh, High School USA.
That was his first thing.
That was... Yeah, he did. I knew there was some high school movie he did, and I think he did it with Nancy McKeon from Facts of Life.
Uh-huh.
It was one of those where they just, you know... He's the cool guy in high school. But I mean, to me, he's always been a teenager.
Yeah.
And, you know, even now I see him as, I have trouble believing him in a adult role. And I read that. I don't remember the director's name, but he was talking about John Cusack, who I love, or based on movies he had made.
Yeah.
You know, now he's kind of going the Nicolas Cage gratuitous action flick, I'll take the check route. But
a lot of people have gone that route, though.
They
Johnny
have.
Depp. Johnny Depp did that for a long time.
He did. And now, you know,
now
he answers his phone.
Mass,
it's like, does it require makeup? I'll do it.
Exactly.
But Cusack, again, one of those actors where when you look at him, it's kind of like, oh, he's a kid.
Yeah.
You know, so I really just don't ever see Michael J. Fox having that kind of gravitas.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I was just going
to
say that.
Yeah, and I think Jason Bateman to some extent does.
Yeah. He's grown up a little more.
Not a
did you
ton,
ever see
but.
Bad Words?
No, I think I've got it on the DVR, good, actually.
Good flick. Check yeah. it out. Good flick.
Yeah.
Very good flick.
I think his comedy plays well. Better.
Yeah. Does very, more of a very good sarcastic comedy type
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
I really didn't start liking him till Arrested Development.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I see. I wasn't a fan of that TV show. I didn't really think much of him
right.
until that show.
Yeah,
Arrested Development, I'm like, oh, okay.
It's like, this has got some chops.
Yeah. It's kind of neat to see him. I don't know if I like him in it, but then I liked him in it. I'm like, okay, well, it's, you know, good ensemble
it,
piece.
It just, it fit him and yeah. his personality. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those I came too late, so I binge watched everything. But, hey, the phone's ringing.
Yay.
Yeah. It's live radio or live live podcasting.
And see, it's no video phone either. We don't have video phone like in Back
no,
to the Future.
Do you think it's no. Michael J. Fox?
It might be. He's like, yeah. I hear you guys talking about me.
Yeah.
He's always got that cracking.
That wasn't too bad.
I don't know. Just too
that was actually.
So, Claudia, this is a little IMDb info here. So, okay. The reason that the girl who played his girlfriend, Jennifer, was the character in the show. Yeah, Claudia Wells, who played Jennifer, left the role and gave it to Elizabeth Shue for 2 and 3 because her mom was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's kind of a
yeah,
yeah. So it wasn't like they didn't like her in the role and they replaced her. It was
I'm too good for this. Yeah, yeah, she
went and did it for her own reasons.
All right, so I respect
so cool.
that.
So that's cool. So Michael J. Fox did not do his own singing in Back to the Future, but he did
get
apparently play
out.
Guitar.
He
yeah,
didn't?
Somebody else. My musician Mark Campbell did all of Michael J. Fox's singing.
Wow,
but Michael J. Fox did sing in Light of Day because I think he wanted to prove that he could
okay.
sing and play guitar. So,
well, all right then.
He did. Yeah.
Triple threat.
Yes. And very short.
That he
but
is.
No, I mean, you know, Michael J. Fox, there's a couple of his movies that I've liked beyond the Back to the Future stuff, but for the most
Such
part,
as...
I kind of agree with you that he was usually out of his depth. For some reason, I liked Doc Hollywood when it came out. I thought that was
you just.
Fun.
I listened to that episode. You just yeah. liked it because there was nudity.
There was a full frontal nudity in that. Yeah,
yeah.
And it was kind of like the truncated version of Northern Exposure. So then I was okay. I don't need to watch that show anymore.
Right.
You know. So
I remember Doc Hollywood. I don't remember the nudity, but I remember watching it. David Ogden Stiers was in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why I remember that out of anything, I don't know. But
that is kind of odd that you remember that out of everything.
You know. It's how often do you see a character from MASH show up in a mainstream movie?
Yeah.
I mean, rather than saying, okay, they went from MASH the movie to the TV show, how many times do you see an actor from MASH after MASH on a television series? You really don't.
No, yeah.
Alan Alda's done a few movies.
Mostly movies,
but you
yeah.
don't, unless you count Wayne Rogers taking people's roles in other TV shows, not so much.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, Rain Rogers replaced Larry Hagman in the I Dream of Jeannie reunion movie.
Yeah. Where'd that come from? Wow.
I know, dude. I know. Can you believe I've actually been with a woman?
No.
I know. It's hard to believe.
You know, I haven't seen him yet, so I don't know. I've been
true.
To your house
that's...
with just you.
Yeah. That, so. Okay, good point. Good point. Fair.
But no, Ogden Stiers was a Disney guy. He did Beauty and the Beast. He
oh,
the
yeah.
Clock. The Clock.
Okay, so let's test know. Your nerd cred.
Okay.
Do you remember or have you watched on YouTube the Justice League television show pilot? They kind of based it on the 1980s version of the Justice League where it was more
no.
comedic. Ogden Stiers was the Martian Manhunter.
Are you kidding me?
No. And it is one of the worst things you will ever watch. You'll be like,
oh my God.
God. The special effects, the costumes. There's better cosplay costumes.
Yeah.
It was just, and you can find the entire thing on YouTube.
Have you seen the really bad? Not that the other ones are any better. The Fantastic Four, the Fantastic
Oh, the
Four
Corm,
one,
the Roger Corman,
Corman one, yeah.
Yeah, I watched that.
Wow, and the Captain
Horrible.
America one, for that matter.
Which one?
The
Red Brown or the Matt Salinger?
Matt Salinger
did see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know who his dad is, right?
No,
J.D. Salinger of A Catcher in the Rye.
Oh nope, no bullshit.
Yeah,
really?
Swear.
Really?
Yeah.
You I wonder, was going to say that, but I didn't
yeah.
think that would be right.
Or Catcher in the Rye, sorry.
Yeah, yeah,
not Catcher in the Rye, but yeah.
yeah.
One of my favorite books.
It's a great book, yeah.
Yeah. If you go back and reread it, it's interesting. From the time you read it, like if you're a kid or you're younger, you're like, yeah, yeah, what he said, man. Mm-hmm. And then you get a little older, and you're like, yeah, he's kind of smart. And, you know, what a kind of a punk. You get to be an adult, and you're just like, you know what? Screw you, you little entitled punk.
I know,
somebody
right?
needs to beat your ass. And it's just like, it's like, wow, where what have I become? But still an enjoyable read. You just view it through a different lens.
God, you just said, it's funny, because I was just talking to my daughter about that, because that's on her reading list. And I'm like, oh, I've got that. I've got a like old copy of it. And I dug it out for her and gave it to her. I was like, I want you to read this, but I also want you to read it 20 years from now when you're older and tell me what you think. She's like, well, I probably won't be able to read it then. I'll probably just put a chip in my head. I'm like, yeah, okay, smartass. You know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah.
You say that, but look at Back to the Future. There's not that much stuff that changes.
You're not going to have a chip in your head.
It's not going to be Johnny Mnemonic in the future. It's not going to be that.
Yeah, there was something I read where they said actually there was a decline in sales in e-books for the first time, and there was kind of a little uptick in print sales.
What comes around goes around, man. I think people get kind of tired of. I don't like reading. I've never been an e-books guy.
I'm not either.
I've tried. We bought the Amazon thing back in the day when it wasn't even backlit. It just had the, you know, it was supposed to be similar to reading print. And I never liked it.
Well, you know, I had read an article where they said because of the fact that it is lit, it actually prevents you from falling asleep if you're trying to read yourself to sleep, because that light is telling your brain daylight, be awake.
Yeah.
And so it kind of has the opposite effect. It's just not the same. And plus, I like the tactile function of a book.
I do, too. Plus, I'm a big, you know, I hate when the formats are wrong. Like, I noticed with a lot of the early e-books back in the day, you could get them and put them on there, and it would be all screwed up, and there'd be words cut in half, and you're like, oh, just really
frustrating. That's the thing I hate about my e-books is the formatting. Depending on what device, it just comes out screwy. And I'm like, I hope the point comes across in spite of the screw ups in the formatting.
Yeah, it's a little funky. It's a little
funky, you know, sure. it's free, so
yeah, you can't really do much beyond free, you know.
No.
So some factoids here about Back to the Future, and this is from IMDb. They have it up on the front page.
Is this the first one?
The original one. Number one movie at the box office in 1985, and was best performing movie of the franchise. Big surprise. So that's kind of what you would think. U.S. release date was July 3rd, 1985. U.S. gross for this movie was $210 million, which is not really a lot nowadays if you think about it.
No, but in modern numbers, what would that be? Because that's what they always do.
Yeah, who knows?
You know, adjusted for inflation.
Worldwide gross was $381. Number two, the script was rejected 40 times before it finally was greenlit. So they had
by the same studio?
By the same studio.
Wow. Yeah.
According to Bob Gale, the studio said that it wasn't sexual enough, and suggested that the co-writer and director Robert Zemeckis and Gale take it to Disney. Ultimately, the project wound up at Universal. So,
because
Columbia rejected it 40 times. Eric Stoltz was cast as Marty McFly. And if you have the Blu-ray set, you can see those scenes. It's a little weird.
Oh, you can see. Yeah.
They have some of the scenes with him.
Is Stoltz just kind of a creepy dude?
Stoltz is a little creepy, yeah. I really liked him in Pulp Fiction. I thought that was kind of his, you know, that's like his role. That's what he should be doing all the time, pretty much. But anytime you see him in anything else, like Some Kind of Wonderful as the romantic lead, I'm like,
that's
the whole gingers don't have a soul thing. I don't know if it's, that's what it is or what, but he kind of creeps me out. Yeah.
I just saw Mary Stuart Masterson on something.
Really?
Blue Bloods.
Yes.
She was playing a city council woman.
And she looks great still.
She does. It took me a second. I was like, oh, she's an adult now.
Yeah. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
I had the thing for her, man. When she was,
did you?
Yeah.
The little pixie hair.
Oh yeah. She was a cutie. No, Ralph Macchio was offered the role of Marty McFly. You imagine Karate Kid as Marty McFly?
No.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him in much.
And he had worked with Elizabeth Shue previously in Karate Kid, so that would have been like would have been a reunion.
Great chemistry.
Thing.
Great chemistry between these two.
No.
It wouldn't
work. No. That was one of those things. I love the do you see the thing recently where they talked about Karate Kid that he was actually the bad guy? Have you seen that?
I saw it on YouTube. I didn't click on
it's actually pretty funny. You should check it out, yeah. The movie serves as Billy Zane's first on-screen performance.
No kidding.
Yeah, he was I guess 3D or whatever. He was the one of the guys that was
one of the 3D guys.
One of Biff's thugs. He was one of Biff's thugs.
No kidding.
The 3D guy was Casey Schmasco, so he was just one of Biff's thugs in all three movies. He's in all three.
Now I have this take that this belief that what you don't see at the end of Titanic. Mm-hmm. Is that she goes back to
Billy Zane?
Yeah,
she's like, that's horrible.
The guy's dead.
He's dead. I'll go back to that guy.
The hot bald guy still got money.
Right.
Zane
said he'd been in Hollywood for 2 weeks when he landed the role, and was originally auditioned to play Biff. So, wow.
Okay, I could see him as Biff.
Yeah, Which classic movie inspired the clock tower scene? We all know this. Harold Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not a big one. Early ideas for the time machine were not as cool as the DeLorean. Originally, it was conceived as a laser device, a pivotal point in the script. It was attached to a refrigerator, so... No.
The DeLorean was really... That kind of made it.
It did. It did.
It's become an iconic car. They've had it at Comic Cons where they've done a mock up of it, or it's a model of it. You can get your picture taken with it.
Exactly. And there was that trailer moment where he's like,
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, if you're going to build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style?
That little, part that's just like perfect. Yeah. Reason Doc Brown is so hunched over, due to height differences between Christopher Lloyd, who's 6'1", and Michael J. Fox, Robert Zemeckis tried to have actors stand as far apart for their scenes as they could. When they did stand together, Doc was hunched over.
Interesting.
So, interesting choice. I wonder if that was Michael J. Fox like, this guy's too tall.
You need to have him look.
And if he's just being a jackass about
but
that.
But, you know,
what?
I mean, the thing is, but it works for the film.
It does.
Who cares? It's not like they're a couple or anything. Yeah. So it's like,
as a character choice, it made sense to me.
Character choice, yeah. But it's like, who cares if the professor's taller than Marty?
Yeah. So 2 and 3 being shot back-to-back was a Hollywood precedent. They'd never done that before. So
I thought they had done that with Superman and Superman 2.
Mm.
Did they not?
I think they got about halfway through 2.
And then switch directors.
Meant to be as one film, and then they decided there was
too much films. Okay.
And that's when they fired what's his name and brought in the other guy.
Okay, they fired Donner, and I don't remember the other guy they brought in. So
2 was released on November 22nd, 1989, made just shy of $120 million.
So you had 4 years between the first two films,
85 to 89, and then part 3 was done released in 90. Wow. So yeah.
All right.
Interesting.
I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have thought it went as far, into the 90s. That just seems like a long way to.
It does. It does seem like a long way to.
To go, because he was, Fox. But then again, that's the thing. Michael J. Fox is like Dick Clark. He's like, he doesn't look that much older.
Yeah, exactly. The Curious Case of Crispin Glover. Crispin Glover plays George McFly in the first movie. Did not return for the sequels due to salary dispute. Okay. A new storyline for George was written in which he is done in by Biff. The actor Jeffrey Wiseman played the role in the sequels. His makeup made to look and resemble Glover, which Glover apparently sued because of that, because they used his likeness.
Now, I believe the guy who plays Marty's brother also played Jimmy Olsen in Superman.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
He did. That is correct.
There
that
we
is
go.
Correct, sir. Yep. And we got the Superman wraparound there for the Superman Returns
you
episode.
You like that?
That is coming up, yes.
What's funny is every time Joe and I do a podcast, somehow a Star Wars reference works in without even trying. It's just an analogy. It's like, it's like an empire. It's just kind of like your life just kind of comes,
full circle.
It's a part of you.
It is.
And
it is.
Now I know you're not watching any of the new trailers.
I'm not. I'm trying to avoid as much as I can.
It was pretty cool.
I don't want to hear that.
No, that's all I'm saying. I'm not giving anything away. I'll tell you what I tell my kid about everything. Everybody dies.
Yeah.
And she's, right. I just tell her. I'm like, you seen them? Yeah, everybody dies in the end.
They all die eventually. So
yeah.
They're all going to die. I didn't know it was that Adam Driver plays the new bad guy.
So
I was wondering who he was going to play in the film. I was like, who's that guy going to play with his big giant ears?
Yeah, he kind of bugs me.
He does. He bugs me too.
I'm
not a big fan of his.
He was on Buffy for like half an episode or something.
Yeah.
He didn't last long.
Yeah.
He's
just got some car doors, man. That annoys me. I don't know what that is about. You got to close them car doors. I don't know. Is that evil for me to think that way?
No, like, no. I mean, it's kind of a trophy
cup.
He's got
a weird face. He's like a horse face with giant ears.
Yeah.
It's a horse face with Dumbo ears.
I think it's one of those where he could be a character actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of his looks, but it's like he's never going to be the lead.
Yeah.
There was an episode of The Man Show. And they were talking about, what was it, Ugly Town or something like that, where everybody in it's ugly. And Kimmel made an offhanded comment about, you really get to understand this town and how bad people want to succeed when you see the casting call that went out for this. Because basically it's them saying, we need ugly people, and people going up, yeah, I'm ugly. Because it's like, I have no problem admitting this. Can I be on television? Can I be in a movie?
Right.
So there is room for character actors.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at guys like, Danny Trejo.
Oh,
not
yeah.
a good looking dude,
No.
And, he's been in a gazillion movies. So there's a ton of those guys,
Yeah.
Danny DeVito, for that matter. short little squatty, weird looking dude.
He's had some good roles though.
He's had some great roles. He was the Penguin, for Christ's sake. Not a big fan of his Penguin?
Not a big fan. Yeah, no. That just didn't work. I didn't mind the movie so much, but
you didn't mind? Okay.
And you really start to appreciate it after watching the next one with Val Kilmer.
Oh God, yeah.
And then the god awful Batman.
The abomination of Batman and Robin.
Joel Schumacher, man. Apparently a big Adam West fan.
I don't know, man. And we're getting on a Batman rant here, but that's fine. We'll do that because this is what the show is. It's a podcast. It's not live radio or anything. So, Batman Forever, from the moment that movie started, I hated it. I'm like, oh, I hate this. My wife's like, what? I'm like, you don't see it? She's like, what? I'm like, look at all the, like, just the city in general. Is like Schumacher was like I guess he was a window designer or something for fashion or whatever, and like in the first scene of the movie there's this bank being robbed and Batman jumps up and you have all this like projected weird shit on the building. Did you notice that? It's like projected colors of sprites and weird stars and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
He was going for more of that neon.
Yeah, super high bright colors, and then had that fight scene in there with the neon stuff.
Yeah,
Robin.
There was nothing good about either of those. Mm. Just absolutely nothing at all. So yeah, I mean, looking back, I can appreciate the second. What was a Batman Returns?
Yeah,
I can appreciate it more. But I didn't like the Penguin take.
I can also see why Michael Keaton left the series, because it wasn't about Batman anymore.
The second movie had
so much between Catwoman and Penguin and the character, whoever the hell, what's his name, played Max Schreck, I think is what his character was.
Yeah, Max Schreck.
Yeah, Christopher Walken. But just that whole thing, there was no room for Batman really in the film.
Well, and admittedly, Tim Burton's not a comic book guy. Mm-hmm. I need to watch that documentary, Whatever Happened to the Death of Superman.
Yeah, I saw that. I've got to see that
because I can only, I cringe when I see the photos. I'm like, I'm so glad this film didn't get made.
Yeah.
That just looked like it would have been absolutely horrible. And I think, you've got to have somebody who at least respects the source material and doesn't think, this is just a pile of crap, but I'll write it. Mm. So, hey, it could have been worse. They could have put Michael J. Fox in the role.
As Superman?
Or Superman, Batman.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, any of those, that would have been...
Do you remember what you thought when you heard Keaton was going to play Batman? Do you remember where you were and what you thought at that time when you heard?
Yeah,
he was cast?
It wasn't like the internet now where somebody's like, "Well, here I'm going to Photoshop some pictures of what he'd look like, or something like that." I didn't get it because all I could think of was like Mr. Mom,
Night Shift.
Night Shift. Yeah. Billy Blaze, I'm an idea man.
Yeah,
here's an idea. Edible paper. Edible trash.
Edible trash.
Something like that. I just didn't see it. It wasn't the height thing. It was just he doesn't look right.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know how to be a real actor. Mm. And that's I think that's one of the things sometimes we forget when we do look at the casting is they are actors.
Yeah.
They can do other things. Now, whether they do it well or not remains to be seen, but I thought Keaton did a great job as Batman.
I really did, too.
And one thing they said that sold it was his eyes. Mm-hmm. And I thought he did that remarkably well. And, of course, he didn't have the stupid Batman voice.
No. He just kind of talked like himself, yeah.
Yeah.
Bale, dropped it. I don't know what the hell Bale was doing with the voice.
The first movie
really
wasn't bad, but the second one, it was,
Yeah.
I've been smoking Pall Malls for 50 years.
Right. He should have just done the accent.
Knight.
I'm the Dark Knight. I'm here to kill you now. He should have done the accent with it. Yeah, I don't know.
Refreshingly cool.
What'd you think of Birdman? Now, hindsight's 2020.
Loved Birdman.
Birdman's awesome.
Loved Birdman. I'm a big fan of that that book. What we do when we what we talk about when we talk about love, mm-hmm. by I can see his face and I cannot call his name. I'll get it in a moment. Damn it! I've got Raymond Carver. I've got that sitting on my bookshelf at home. I love the book.
Yeah.
And so I could see overtones of the book in the movie, but. Love the movie.
Yeah.
And I would tell friends, they'd be like, hey, did you see it? What'd you think? I'm like, I loved it. It was great. You'll hate it.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? I'm like, no, it's not for you.
Yeah.
But it's,
a little presumptuous of you there, but.
Well, no, I mean, I know my friends. I know people who'd be like, dude, I don't, why? What's happening? I don't understand it. And yet I know there's other friends who'd be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
you know, pick up on the subtext of it. I thought it was brilliant.
I thought it was brilliant too. My wife was, I watched it by myself first because I really wanted to see it. I didn't want to wait. And I was like, I got to watch this. I can't wait for her. Because you have this thing, I don't know if you have this thing being married and you have a family and it's like, wait for me. Don't watch, wait. And then like it's 2 years and you still haven't seen the damn thing. It's like, oh, yes. I got to just, you know. So being on the road as a rep and being able to be on my own, I'm able to do those things. So I'll take movies with me and just watch them on the road and just, by the way, I watched this. Oh, you son of a bitch. Well, I was tired of waiting, you know.
Yeah.
It was one I watched on my own and I fell in love with it. I'm like, oh, I want to watch this right away again. I'm like, I got to watch this again, you know.
Yeah.
So I watched it again and loved it the second time too. And finally sat her down like, you got to watch this with me. You know, so I sat her down, we watched it. And about 40 minutes in, she's like, I'm exhausted. I'm like, what? She's like, this movie is exhausting me. I don't know why. I'm like, well, you do realize it's kind of like almost like one long take and there's just a lot of energy. And it's just like, maybe that's it. I don't know. Can I take a break? I'm like, yeah, I'll take a break. So we went and did something. She never went back to it. I'm like, shit.
You know, you know, the thing that I loved was that quote on the mirror that a thing is not what is said about the thing. I can't get the quote right now. But when you see that, to me, that's almost the Rosetta Stone of the movie. It's like, there's a reason they're showing you this. Keep that in mind because that's going to kind of tell you the whole story of the movie. So as I'm watching it with my wife, I'm like, hey, check this out. Look, like, now keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. And then 10 minutes later, she was asleep. So I, she, big difference in movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I had a hunch. But when I told her you won't like it, she's like, well, how do you know I won't like it? Maybe I will.
Yeah, you
won't.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that. There were a lot of good movies that year.
There was, yeah.
That I enjoyed. But yeah, that was one of those. And Keaton's doing a new one where he plays a newspaper reporter.
I saw the trailer for that.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of it, but that also looks really good. That's a thing. It's you get into the industry as one thing, and nobody wants to ever give you a chance as something else, and you don't get a chance to show your chops. But I think Keaton now...
Male actors, I think, and this is a bad thing about the industry, but male actors have a choice. They have the chance to come back later in their career and really explore different things.
Reinvent themselves?
Yeah, and you don't really see that with women. It's like women actors, once they lose their looks, they're kind of just done. You know, it's like they're constantly trying to continue to keep their looks up because they know once they lose that, then they're not going to get those parts.
Now, all of a sudden, you're the grandma. Well, you know, in the original Manchurian Candidate...
Spotlight's the movie you're talking about, by the way.
Spotlight?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one that's coming out.
The Angela Lansbury, and I can't remember the actor who played the other character I can't think of. But anyway, the guy who played her son in the movie, she was like 3 years older than him.
Yeah.
And Anne Bancroft in The Graduate, like not that much older than Dustin Hoffman.
Yep.
But it's like, oh, she's the older woman. Like, actually, no.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah. We talked about that in another episode. Cloris Leachman played old for a long time.
Until she did.
Actually was old, you know.
She absolutely did.
And Betty White, you know.
Yeah. Betty White's been perpetually old.
Yeah. For the past 20 years.
Yeah, I remember Cloris Leachman from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and I remember going, she actually used to be a good-looking woman.
Yeah, and she still was when she was doing all Mel Brooks, but they always
age
her.
They always make her look kind of good. Weird. Wasn't she in the Last Picture Show?
Yeah,
I think she was. Yeah.
Yep, and a bra and panties walking around.
Yeah, hey. And Sybil Shepherd was topless.
Exactly.
Yeah, another reason
didn't
to watch.
See that in Moonlighting.
No, you didn't. One of my favorite shows of all time.
Bruce Willis.
Loved that show.
Yeah, he was great.
Absolutely loved that show. But,
he was great in that show, and he was great in Die Hard, and then he became a jackass, from what I hear.
Kevin Smith certainly thinks so.
Yeah.
Have you seen him
rant about that?
Oh, just goes off on it.
Yep.
But, you know, here's the weird thing. Willis did one of the final episodes of Mad About You as a guest appearance.
Yeah.
Which is just like, okay, that's kind of random.
Yep, he was on Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think at the time he was dating Courtney Cox or something, though.
That may have been.
I think. Something like that. I don't know.
He was dating somebody.
Everybody was dating Courtney Cox. They're all the people.
Wow, yeah. You know,
Brad Pitt was dating Jennifer Aniston. He was on the show, or they were married or something.
It's kind of the thing your publicist did. They set you up with somebody from Friends to get you in the news.
There you go, yeah.
No, that's true. Willis never did... He never did... Because he came along later, so he never did those goofy kind of teen movies that Michael J. Fox did.
No. About as good. I mean, he did some comedies for a while there. He did Blind Date with Kim Basinger. It was kind of that was, you know, they have those guys that did comedies for a while.
What was the one he did with James Garner? Sunset?
Sunset, yeah.
Where he's supposed to be Wyatt Earp?
The actor who played Wyatt Earp in a bunch of movies.
Okay.
And James Garner was Wyatt Earp.
Gotcha.
Who was training him how to be
the actual Wyatt Earp
in the films or whatever. So, yeah.
God, I love James Garner.
Yeah, James Garner's awesome.
He is.
He was the best thing about that stupid movie The Women Love That I Can't Stand.
The Notebook.
Notebook.
Was he in The Notebook?
He was in The Notebook.
Okay, see, I never saw it.
Yeah,
so.
You don't want to see that ever.
I have, if it says Nicholas Sparks on it, I just know I'm out.
Yeah, and that's one that your wife's going to try and make you watch. And just like, you know, I don't.
It's like, you know what? I got a thing.
Because then you're going to have a big argument about the movie, and it's going to be her versus you. And
you know, and I like romantic comedies, but they usually involve Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn having hijinks.
Yeah.
Or Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell. Or
Philadelphia Story, one of those. Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorites.
That, I think, is probably my favorite movie.
Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorites. That, Casablanca.
You can't go wrong with Casablanca.
Yeah. So, but, okay, Michael J. Fox movies that were actually good. Here you go.
Okay,
ready?
I want to hear this.
Stuart Little.
Oh, come on. All right.
Homeward Bound.
Jeez.
Okay, here's one I actually
As a VO like. Guy, here's, I love that you're giving him credit. No, I think it counts.
Here's one that I do like, and I actually like this movie.
All right.
The Frighteners.
Haven't seen it.
You haven't seen The Frighteners? No.
I remember the ad from in the comic books, though.
It's
but
Guillermo del Toro before he did all the other stuff. You know, so it's the, no, not Guillermo del Toro. Peter Jackson.
Okay.
It's Peter Jackson before. It was the stuff he did after. Peter Jackson started doing these really overly over-the-top graphic horror flicks that were really kind of comedies. He did Brain Dead, and then he did another one I can't think of the name of right now. But then he did Frighteners, was his first big-budget Hollywood. And I say big-budget. It was medium-budget Hollywood movie. And it didn't do well, but it got better as it went along. It did well in video, became a cult classic. And it's actually an entertaining movie.
Man, just think, if Peter Jackson had been able to do Lord of the Rings back in the 80s, Michael J. Fox could have been a Hobbit.
He could have been Frodo. You never know. But yeah, that's all I've got. I'll say that the Back to the Future is probably his best movie, and his second best would be Frighteners to me.
Okay,
He was an American president. I don't remember him in that.
No, playing an aide or something.
Yeah, probably Mars Attacks.
Yeah,
that was kind of fun. Again, voice work Atlantis. I don't remember that movie, but he was in that. It was a Disney flick that kind of failed miserably.
Yeah,
he was on Scrubs, 2 episodes.
Casting.
Yeah. Boston Legal, 6 episodes.
Stunt casting.
There you go. Curb Your Enthusiasm, 1 episode.
Okay.
As Michael J. Fox.
I didn't see that episode, but...
Yeah, and he was in the 2014 version of Annie, which I didn't see, and I prefer not to. So, yeah.
No,
he doesn't really... Yeah, he was one of those TV stars that probably should have stayed a TV star, I think.
I would agree.
You know, he had a couple of bright, shiny moments, but for the most part...
Girls thought he was cute.
Yeah.
So he was bankable, so they... Put him in movies.
Another guy that girls thought was cute that didn't really go anywhere was that Kirk Cameron guy.
Yeah.
He went and got all gaudy.
I think that depends on what side of the Bible you fall on or how fervent you are. Because some people would argue that he's gone very far.
Yeah.
And some people would say no.
Yeah.
I happen to lean on the no side. But...
Did you ever see The Left Behind that Nicolas Cage did?
No.
No. Not in your wheelhouse as far as things you want to see?
No, dude. Given your
religious standpoint and all?
No. I mean, even so, it's just one of those where, like, this just looks horrible.
Yeah.
Even the original... I think the original Kirk Cameron version was on, and I was flipping through some, and I stopped for like 2 minutes, like, God, this is horrible, and kept going.
Yeah.
But... Nicolas Cage replacing Kirk Cameron. I guess they weren't even the same character, though.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You know what's interesting, though, is movies like that, there's a lot that you find in the $5 bin at Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's the religious film, and it's like Judd Nelson and Lou Gossett Jr. And it's like, and I know people mm-hmm. who get really excited because they're like, look at that. They're Christian. Like, it's a paycheck.
Yeah.
Pretty sure they're just doing this for the money.
Yeah.
But, God, there was one that was just out in the theater, and I don't even remember who was in it.
Someone
but it was
big, too.
Oh, no, it was Hayden Christensen.
That was it. He was in one recently. Yeah.
He was in one. But then there's all the Fireproof, and just there's all these others, and they always make a big deal out of how well they do at the bar. And I think that's great, man. I mean, if that's your thing and you want to see those... That's fantastic, but I would never say they're great cinema by any means.
No, I agree with you on that point.
So, yeah, Kirk came. The biggest success that came out of Growing Pains is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, true. True story.
I will tell you this. This sounds horrible, and I mean no offense to it or to anybody by this, but watching What's Eating Gilbert Grape, I was like, that retarded kicking act. I'm like, that is amazing. I'm like, he's really a great. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
I really thought he
you don't
was
think
mentally,
he went full retard? Like, you know, I, to use a statement from
right, right. No, total, I thought
the Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was mentally retarded.
Yeah.
And you know, I was like, oh, I like that character, and I was like, holy cow. Like, all right, well.
Talented actor. He's a. I didn't like him
is.
For the longest time, and
I still don't. But he's good.
He's grown on me. I like him in movies. He's one of these actors that I never liked him. I still try to not like him, but there's things that I watch that he's in that
he's
I like.
He's one of those that
in.
They just cram down on you, like, oh, he's you know one
Keanu
of the greatest
Reeves is
actors.
That way too, yeah.
I've never heard anybody say he's one of the best actors.
No,
of his generation.
He's not. Okay. But he definitely cram him down your throat. I mean, he's in a lot of these movies that are iconic, like The Matrix and whatnot.
Well,
but,
okay, let's be honest. Yeah. Neo perfectly. He was fit for that.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of acting, a lot of kind
I
of
know
just
kung fu.
Hey, whoa, yeah. You know, and Bill and Ted.
Yeah, exactly.
But anything else is
Point
kind
Break.
Of a stretch.
He was perfect for Point Break.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Wasn't he in that with...
Gary Busey.
Yeah. Wow.
Mr. Patrick Swayze. Patrick Swayze. And
am I not
his,
getting something about Patrick Swayze?
He had a couple of roles. It's like he's the dancey, his hair is really pretty guy that had a couple of action roles that people really like him in, like Roadhouse, Point Break, and there was another one he did.
Oh, Kin. I can't.
Yeah, Next of Kin.
Next of Kin.
And then Steel Dawn was his apocalyptic thing. Where he's
oh,
like
he was also in
Black
not
Dog.
Not Warriors. What was it?
Outsiders.
Outsiders.
Yeah,
that's what it was. And then yeah, Red Dawn.
Yeah.
So I never got the Patrick Swayze thing either.
Never got that in.
No, never really did. Anything. Ghost.
Yeah,
that wasn't,
I hated Ghost, man.
That was a
that
little.
That was one of those
very.
Pity Oscars for me. And
you know what it was?
Me.
To me, it was one of those where they decided, we're going to make you cry. Oh, mm-hmm. They could have been the tagline, you will cry.
Right.
You know, it, speaking of Michael Keaton, My Life
mm-hmm.
with Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
I remember watching them going, you people suck. You wrote this movie. And I'm sitting, there wasn't anybody not sobbing. But I mean, yeah. It, regardless of the acting or anything, you're just like, this is a horrible... Oh my God! This is what if this was my family? So I mean,
right.
Everybody's just sobbing and like, you manipulated me.
Yep.
You people suck.
That's what their job, though, man.
It was.
They're
it
trying
was,
to get you.
It. They got me.
Yeah.
They got me because that's like okay. I'm out.
So that's your cry movie. If you have a cry, do you have a cry movie?
Because
I know women have cry movies. My wife
you know
has
what?
Like
probably several. I have. I have no problem admitting I cry to stuff. It's like, look, if it touches me emotionally, that's.
So
fun.
Now, girls and guys usually have different cry movies.
Right.
Like my wife is like it's Steel Magnolias.
No,
it's,
that doesn't.
You know, Terms of Endearment. Those are the type of things that she watches. And guys tend to have like Miracle, you know, like
yeah.
Sports related or whatever.
You know what? Probably maybe a little bit in Remember the Titans, mm-hmm. but that you know, it's more the Disney sports thing. Honestly, the one that gets me is Big Fish. Mm-hmm. With Ewan McGregor because right. of the relationship with my father that it's
yeah.
just I remember losing him and it's just like okay
yep floodgates open
yeah and yeah. the original Defiant Ones with Tony Curtis and Sidney Poitier
just
to watch their relationship and now these two guys who couldn't stand each other have become friends it's like
yeah.
now I'm touched anything where somebody is willing to give their life for another person
mm-hmm.
it gets me the
yeah.
sacrifice thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow. Because to me, that is true love.
Yeah.
And it's like, regardless if another person sacrifices himself, I'm like, that's pretty big.
I'm a horrible person then, because an animal has to die for me to cry usually. It's like,
oh,
know,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, Marley and Me, which is a horrible, stupid movie, but, you know, that makes
yeah,
me cry.
It's, I don't like watching dogs get
Pachinko,
hurt or
yeah.
die. It's like, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to see the dog die.
Yeah.
Well, I remember that during Jurassic Park 2. You're like, he ate the dog. And then you're right. like, okay, the dog's fine. All right. They get a pass on it. But yeah, I don't like seeing animals get hurt. Mm-hmm. I really don't. So yeah, that always kind of brings a tear.
Yeah.
I remember, what was I watching? It was something where guys were trying to act. It was a sitcom. Guys were trying to act uber macho. And like, oh, I cried during the end of... Dirty Dozen, you know.
Yeah.
Jim Brown gets killed. I'm like, all right. It's like, I think there's other movies where...
There's that scene in Sleepless in Seattle where they do that.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's what it was. Yeah. Which was... God, I can't think of the name of the movie, but was a remake of a movie with Jimmy Stewart
mm-hmm.
that was fantastic. I can't think of the actress who played opposite him, but fantastic movie.
Is a remake of a Jimmy Stewart movie?
It is a remake of a Jimmy Stewart movie where he and another lady work in the same department store.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're in London.
Okay.
And they're antagonistic towards each other.
Shop Around the Corner. You've Got Mail?
Yeah, Shop Around the Corner. Maybe that was what it was.
So You've Got Mail was the remake.
And
of
they,
that
they're pin pals, and but they fight in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great movie. But, it, I mean, it's Jimmy Stewart, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart's awesome. He's one of my faves.
Just he shows up and he just acts.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life will get me every year. I watch that.
Yeah, you know, I watch it. I see it differently, I think, than most people, because I'm like, this is an incredibly dark film. I know everybody's
incredibly dark.
Going,
no,
hey,
it is.
It's Christmas. All right. I'm like, he's about to commit suicide.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's shown what his life isn't like, how these other people's lives are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, this is an incredibly dark film, and then they kind of tack on the happy ending. But I've maintained for a long time, I think everybody wants that George Bailey moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, wait a minute. While I'm taking up space here, what would it be like if I hadn't been born?
You kind of think about it, bringing it back around to Back to the Future. Back to the Future 2, kind of, it's a
you know, that's
life
true.
Thing.
That's true.
You know, you see what his life would be if things changed and his life had gone a different way. And
good point.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wasn't even trying to segue.
I know, but there you go, right there. So
that's what happens when you're professionals.
Exactly. But not as good a movie as It's a Wonderful Life at all.
No, I don't think people are going to be sitting around going, hey, Back to the Future 2 on? All right.
Let's give it a watch, man. It always makes me cry.
Yeah. I don't think anybody cried at that.
No, I don't think so.
There was,
but definitely
there were no
is,
sad
it definitely
moments.
Is, you know, kind of a bookend of a movie to go with.
It is, and there's a lot of people who remember it fondly because of the time they were in high school, whatnot. And I'm sure I have films like that where I'm like, okay, not a great film, but reminds me of high school, so.
I have a ton of
guilty
those
pleasure.
Now that my daughter's 16 and I'm trying to get her to watch these movies that I remember loving, it's 50-50, man. A lot of times I'll sit her down with it and watch it, and I'll go, God, that movie sucked, you know? Why did I love this movie so much? And then,
right.
But half of them are really good, you know? So you get those.
So where are you on Breakfast Club? Sucked or good movie?
I still like Breakfast Club.
Yeah, I think that had wheels.
I think it did. Now, the other ones, you know, Pretty in Pink, no. Mm. I wasn't really a big fan of that to begin with, but I did like 16 Candles. I still like it. I think it's fun. Michael Anthony Hall makes it fun.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah. Flip his name there, yeah.
For whatever reason, I still remember, you know what I like most about waking up with you? My clean clothes shave? No, waking up in your arms. These things? Why that line sticks with me, I don't know. I could do algebra if I didn't remember that.
but
I remember that scene. Cusack was in that, I think.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Yeah, he showed up in that
and
as well.
And his sister was in there, too.
Oh, she was Joan?
Joan.
Oh, that's right, the braces.
Yeah. The
That's
headgear.
Right.
She was the one dancing funny with the headgear on.
That's, and what was the other? Did Hughes do Can't Buy Me Love? He didn't, did he?
No, he didn't, no.
Okay. I wasn't sure about that, but that was one I liked.
Yeah, Can't Buy Me Love. That was fun at the time.
They're
doing
the African Anteater dance. No, right. No smoking in that one either.
No.
So where do you fall on Ferris Bueller?
It was
didn't age well?
No, well, I have a Ferris Bueller story because that was one of those movies that I didn't see when it came out right away. And everybody saw it, and everybody told me everything that was funny about it. So by the time I saw it, I was like, you know.
No reason to see it.
No reason to see it, really.
Gotcha.
And I didn't like his character annoyed me. The fact that I was kind of on his sister's side.
Yeah, he was kind of kind of smarmy.
Yeah.
I liked it. Now I do. I kind of look back at him like Holden Caulfield. It's like, you're kind of a punk.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the time it was all right. Mm-hmm. Didn't mind it, but. To me now, that's Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
I don't refer to that movie as Godzilla. I call it Ferris versus the Lizard. I mean, he's right. Just, he's always going to be that character to me.
Yeah, yeah. Until The Producers, probably. I
haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen The Producers, huh?
I have not. Now, the Gene Wilder version, I like. There is a scene in there in his office with Zero Mostel that just cracks me up. He's like, now I'm wet and frightened.
I'm frightened. He's like, slaps him.
I lost it at that scene. And part of it because I'm like, I think that's me. I'm pretty sure. Is he doing me? Because it's funny because you mentioned, I can't think of his name now. More cowbell guy.
Oh, Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were mentioning Walken. I don't remember in what reference, but you did a little bit of your Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
And every time I try to do Christopher Walken, mm-hmm. I break into Woody Allen. I don't know if it's a member of the tribe thing or what, but all of a sudden I'm like, and so I kept his watch. It's like, wait a minute, how did I become Woody Allen?
He gave me this watch.
Yeah, I can't.
Had this uncomfortable hunk of metal up my ass.
Yeah, he was great. There was a movie called Pool Hall Junkies that he delivers a fantastic monologue in, mm-hmm. where it's just worth it to just like, okay, I'm just going to get my popcorn and listen to Walken give this speech.
Yeah, he was the best thing about Seven Psychos. You see Seven Psychos?
It's on the DVR. Haven't caught it yet.
He's got a lot of great lines in that, and that's really the only reason to watch that.
He's just very enjoyable to watch. He's one of those that's like, okay, the rest of this movie could suck, but I want to watch him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Every once in a while, he's wasted in things. I didn't think he really had much to do in Batman Returns, but, you know.
He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't. It was a paycheck.
It was, yeah.
You know, and Michael Caine said that. Sometimes, you know, you do the movie you want. Sometimes you do Jaws 3.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, but Michael J. Fox, not a box office draw for me.
Yep. I can see where you're coming from, yeah.
I don't know. I don't mean to... nothing against him, but...
Yeah. So Back to the Future Day, where you just like, oh, make it stop?
Yeah. Kind of. It's like, okay, I get it. Okay, here's my thing. Every day is National Something Day on mm-hmm. Facebook. Mm-hmm. Where the hell do they dig this up?
I don't know.
Because I'm pretty sure it's National Made-Up Shit Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Where people just pull this stuff, and it's like, hey, it's National Coffee Day, it's National Pie Day. According to who?
Have you heard the thing about that Facebook was doing a lot of experiments, like social experiments through Facebook? Where they were putting out, there's actually a, I want to say it was a news story or documentary, but I saw a thing about it. It was about 30 minutes long, about how they were doing social experiments through Facebook to see if they could... mess with people, basically, to see what would happen if, like, we're going to post on these particular people in this region of the country, all the stuff that we're going to post up is going to be kind of negative, you know, negative news stories, negative this, negative that, to see if it skews how people think. And then these guys over here, we're going to give them very positive news and, you know, cute bunnies and here's pictures of dogs and stuff.
They have to do a social experiment to figure that out?
It was really just them fucking with people. I think they just wanted to see
if all you do is feed me negative news, it's going to affect my mood.
But it definitely affected people. You know, it was interesting. It's an interesting article or whatever it was that I remember reading about it.
Wow, I'll have to try to dig that up. But yeah, the Back to the Future Day, it's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Not a great movie, though.
Yeah.
But it, you know what? It echoes with people. It stays with them. So at the end of the day, isn't that really what a good movie is? One that kind of stays with people.
Yeah.
So.
I would say it's, you know, it's in my top 25 of movies. Is it really? That are enjoyable enough that I can watch.
Number two is?
No, the first one. The first one, definitely. No, gotcha. Not number two. Number two or number three, no. Nowhere near it. But if I had to have, like, you know, 25 movies to take with me on a deserted island or something, Back to the Future probably.
I don't think that even cracked my top 50.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But I did. I mean, you know, I've watched it.
Yeah.
You know, more than once. But
yeah.
I don't think it cracked the top 50.
Yours would all be Star Wars and Star Trek and Superman.
No. No, I really don't think they would. There'd be a lot of old movies.
Yeah. A lot of classics.
Yeah, a couple of John Cusack movies. A lot of Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll have to have that discussion.
Yeah, later. Yeah. He's up until a certain point. Yeah. Kind of after Jersey Girl was like,
Yeah.
But, I don't think there's a Michael J. Fox one on there.
All right.
Wow, and not much cigar smoking, but look at all the mileage we got out of it.
Exactly.
And what was it you were smoking?
I was smoking a Jericho Hill. This is from...
Crowned Heads.
Crowned Heads, yeah, from our buddy Brian McGee. He gave it to me yesterday, so...
Nice.
Figured I'd give that a smoke. What are you smoking?
This is the new Camacho Shellback.
Okay.
It's got a United States Navy theme. Okay. Shellback has something to do with the first time a sailor crosses the equator on their ship. And like all Camachos, I've enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. A little bit thicker wrapper. So I've touched it up a little bit. But great flavor. A little bit of sweetness to it. And Kelly Cathy's our Camacho rep.
Okay.
Working for Davidoff.
Davidoff.
Keep saying Davidoff.
Davidoff.
Yeah.
Davidoff.
Nah, Davidoff. But no, Camacho, enjoyable Camacho. Stick. So
whatever.
I knew somebody who called them Camchos.
What?
And I really wanted to say, is that like a guest star on Hawaii 5-0? Camcho. I'm like, okay.
It sounds
or
like
he was some guy on Magnum PI.
Yeah. Well, he had the Alex Bradley, the Alec Baldwin. What were the other ones that are people always miss?
Oh, yeah.
It was the Aka cigars. The other one.
Well, and then there's always the, how do you say Romeo and Julieta.
Yeah.
It's usually Romeo and Juliet, or yeah. Romeo y Julieta, or
Or
Partagas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what happens when names are in Spanish.
It is all.
Hey, man, at the end of the day, as long as we can keep smoking them and selling them, I'm happy.
Me too, man. Me too. I hope it stays that way.
I do too.
So for those of you that are listening, don't forget to check us out every week on iTunes, Podomatic, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcast Land. We're at all the places you can normally find us. We're also on YouTube, but that is just an audio version of the video show. Or reverse that, a video version that's just audio. There is no physical video to watch, so just go to the iTunes and check it out. That's the place to get it. Or iHeartRadio, for that matter, because we're on there.
And leave a nice review, too.
Yeah, please leave reviews.
Those are critical.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of reviews from when we started way back in the day, but nothing since then. So if you can leave a review for this show, Cigars and Cinema, we'd definitely appreciate it, because we haven't had any reviews of it yet. So as always, it's been great smoking with you guys, and thanks, Phil, for joining us in this episode.
Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome. Later.